sung three songs with my headphones hanging out of my sleeve. I feel perfectly equipped to preach on healing. It's lovely to see you all. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been focusing on the subject of healing and thinking about, first of all, how central healing was to the ministry of Jesus and to the ministry of his disciples and that early church. And we've thought about as well how we respond when we pray for healing and we don't then see the healing that we were hoping to when we pray and we're disappointed. And this is the last one in that series on healing, and today I want to look at the question, how do I join in? How do I get involved in this? Because I really hope that you will have found some of what I've talked about over the last couple of weeks a little bit exciting. I hope so. We've been thinking about the fact that we have a loving, present, powerful God who does supernatural things today. He is alive and well and still doing these things, and he invites us to join in. And that's an exciting thing. One pastor I heard speak a while ago has a wonderful catchphrase, and it really appealed to me. I may have said this before. He says, the kingdom of God belongs to those who show up. The kingdom of God belongs to those who show up. In other words, the kingdom of God belongs to those people who are willing to give it a go. To those people who are willing to step out in faith. And do you remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about having 20 seconds of sustained courage, which is about as long as it takes when somebody's telling you what's wrong with them and how they're poorly. And that's about 20 seconds is what it takes to say, I believe in a God who sometimes does incredible things. Could I pray for you? It takes about that. Once they've said yes, you're in. You can't back out at that point. So it only takes 20 seconds of sustained courage. But if two people pray for someone to get healed and two people watch, who has the better chance of experiencing what it's like to have God work through them in a powerful way? God can do all things, but he won't do them through me unless I'm willing to join in. And he won't do them through you unless you're willing to give it a go. So the kingdom of God belongs to those who show up. And today I want to get really practical and I want to look at that question. If God is still healing people today, how do I get involved? How do I give it a go? And today I'm really going to be building on the last two sermons that I've preached on this. I'm not going to have time to recap them all, obviously. So if you've missed those, the internet is your friend. Pop over to our website or to YouTube and you'll be able to catch those up if you wish to. But I want to start off with three foundations for praying for healing. Three, if you like, three heart attitudes that I think we need to get right if we're going to pray for people to be healed. Now, God's an incredibly gracious God, and he will work through us even before we get all of our attitudes right. Otherwise, he'd never do anything through us at all, would he? Certainly wouldn't through me. But even so, I believe that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in these three attitudes to the point that we start to get them right if we want him to work through us. So I want to talk about compassion and respect and humility. Those are the three attitudes, the three foundations. The New Testament is written in Greek, or was originally written in Greek, and there's a word in the Greek which is splanchnizo, which I think is a brilliant word. I like to quote it, not because it particularly helps you to hear it, I just think it's such a great word. It ought to be said out loud as often as possible. Splanchnizo. And it comes from their word for intestines. It actually comes from the word for your guts. But it's an emotion, and what it means literally is moved in your inner guts, moved in your intestines. We would translate it into English as compassion. And I think it's a great word because it's so descriptive. You know those times when you're confronted by somebody else's pain, and it's like it grabs you by the guts and won't let go. Have you ever had that feeling? And that's what this word is describing. That is being moved with compassion in the New Testament sense of the word. And you won't be surprised to hear that it's a word that was used a lot when the writers of the New Testament were talking about Jesus. When he saw the crowds that needed feeding, he had compassion. When he saw people that he thought were like sheep without a shepherd, he had compassion. And when he healed people, it says he had compassion. It was compassion that was his motivation. In Matthew 20, we read about two blind men who approached Jesus and asked for their sight back. And it says Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Jesus healed people because he loved them, and he healed them because he had compassion on them. And that has to be, that must always be our motivation too, if we're going to pray for somebody. We pray for people, we don't pray for people to score spiritual points, or so we've got a good story to tell the next time Rob says who's got any stories they want to share. And it's brilliant to share those stories, but that's not our motivation. That's not the reason that we pray for people. We pray for people to be healed because Jesus loves them and has compassion on them. And to the extent that we share his heart, we love them and have compassion on them too. So it's a good self-check before you start praying for anybody, actually. What's my motivation here? Why am I wanting to do this? And to ask God, give me your compassion for the person I'm praying for. That has to be where it comes from. So compassion is our first foundation if we're going to pray for people to be healed. The second is respect. Years ago, I was in a service in another church far away, and I went to the front at the end of the service. It was one of those churches where they would sometimes say, if what's happened today has spoken to you and you'd like someone to pray with you, come to the front. And they did it in a very public way. And I walked up to the front of the church, and this absolute Wally came and prayed for me. He didn't look at me. He didn't speak to me. He just sauntered up to me. He didn't even ask my name. He just clamped a hand on my shoulder, prayed whatever nonsense happened to be rattling around in his head at that moment, and then cleared off to pray for the next person. Did I feel loved? Did I feel valued? Did I? Heck, I felt like a bit of meat being processed on a conveyor belt. Have you ever noticed how respectful of people Jesus is? When you read the Gospels, he had all that power, and yet he never imposed on anybody. In Mark 10, a man called Bartimaeus called out to Jesus as he walked past, and Jesus stopped and he called him over. And Bartimaeus was blind, and Jesus was a famous healer. And so everybody in that crowd was certain they knew what Bartimaeus wanted in that moment. But Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Always ask. Never just assume. The person on crutches who comes forward for prayer at the end of for healing at the end of the service might want healing for their sore elbow. Always ask. Never assume. In John 5, Jesus met a paralyzed man lying near a pool of water. And Jesus didn't march up to him and say, right, let's get you healed, mi lado. He said, do you want to get better? Now, that might seem a bonkers question to ask somebody in that situation, but it's a question that protects that person's dignity. It's a question that recognizes that person's agency over their own body. Do you want me to pray for you? Do you want to be healed? I had a church leader many years ago who was a wonderful godly man and who was gracious enough to talk to me about this subject in some length. And he had been paralyzed from the neck down in a terrible car accident when he was in his 20s. And so he was a wheelchair user. And people had prayed for him to be healed. A lot. And he told me that at first he'd very gratefully received every offer of prayer. Yeah, please do. Please pray. He was somebody that believed very strongly that God healed people. And so he was prayed for at every opportunity. But he told me that As time went on, and as he wasn't healed, he came to believe that God wasn't going to heal his body in this life. And he had a peace about that. He felt comfortable with that. Now, this is not me saying if you don't get healed after the first five times you're prayed for, it's time to give up. That is not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is in his case, he felt at peace with the fact that he did not believe that God was going to heal him in this life. And so when people asked, can I pray for you, he would very politely decline. And most people would respect that. But occasionally, some over-enthusiastic Christian would almost take offence at him and say, what do you mean you don't want me to pray for you? You're supposed to be a church leader. Respect means that you don't have the right to pray for anyone. Because it's not about you, it's about them. And it's about what they would like you to do. So we always start off with, how would you like me to pray? Don't assume you know. What would you like me to ask God to do in this case? And of course, sometimes respect means allowing somebody to say, no thank you, I'm now looking in the other direction. I was about 21 years old when my minister in Manchester sent me to pray with an absolutely wonderful old saint, a lady in our church who we knew was very, very ill with cancer. And looking back now, I can see very clearly that he sent me entirely for my benefit and not for hers. But when I got there and asked if I could pray for her, she said, I don't want you to pray for me to be healed. I want you to pray that I can die well, because I'm looking forward to heaven. And at 21 years old, that was absolutely not what I was expecting, and I found it quite difficult to cope with, because I'd never considered the idea that there might be a time to not pray for healing. Now, again, please don't overread anything I've just said. There are also times to pray for healing. In her case, at that time, she had peace about where she was going and she was ready. That doesn't mean you have to be ready before you're ready, and we will always pray for healing. But in her case, at that time, she had peace and she was ready. So respect means allowing the person you are praying for to set the agenda. It's not your agenda, it's theirs. And so compassion and respect are our first two foundations. And at the simplest level, that's just about being loving, isn't it? It's just about being kind to people. When you pray for somebody, your job isn't to heal them, because you can't do that. That's God's job. Your job is to make sure that they go away feeling loved and cared for and respected and valued, because that we can do. So, compassion and respect, the third foundation is humility. And humility means remembering what you can do and remembering what it is that God does. So I'm going to state something completely obvious, because it needs saying out loud more than once. You cannot miraculously heal anybody. Wave if you're in any doubt about that. You can't. And nor can I. And nor can any other human being. You cannot miraculously heal any more than you can flap your arms and fly off. That's not our ability. All of the ability is God's. All of the ability is God's. But he invites us to join in with what he's doing. So Jesus trained and sent his followers to do the same things that he'd been doing. That's how he trained the disciples. In Luke 9, first few verses, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. And then a couple of verses later, Luke goes on to say, they went around healing people everywhere. But the power came from Jesus, not from them. The power comes from him, not from us. And so when you pray for healing, God's ability to heal through your prayers has almost nothing to do with you and everything to do with who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. Can I say that again? Because it's so important. When you pray for somebody for healing, God's ability to heal through you has almost nothing to do with you and everything to do with Jesus and who he is and what he did on the cross. And what gets in the way is something that isn't humility, but it's a kind of false humility, which actually, in a funny kind of way, is a form of pride. When we say to ourselves, oh, I couldn't do that. I'm not a good enough Christian. I couldn't do that. I'm not spiritual enough. I couldn't do that. I'm not worthy. And that's a false humility. Do you really think that your inadequacies are so big and special that they can limit God himself? Because all of the ability is his. All of it. Humility starts with us knowing that by ourselves we're inadequate and incapable, and then looking beyond ourselves. Because the humility we need is the humility that says, what God can do through me is nothing to do with me, it's to do with God. And we look beyond ourselves to who he is. In 2 Corinthians 3 it says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence, our ability, our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Our competence, our ability to do things is in Christ, not in us. So when we pray, what happens next has everything to do with the cross and everything to do with who Jesus is and nothing whatever or very, very little to do with who I am or to do with how I've happened to feel today. That's not the factor, it's who he is. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. And if you're a Christian, Jesus gives you access to his authority and his power. And I just used a very vital word there. I don't know whether you noticed when I read a few verses from Luke 9 and when Jesus sent his disciples out, it said he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. So what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus gives us authority? I think it works like this. If you see a police officer standing in the middle of the road doing that, what do you do? Why? I mean, you could just swerve around them, couldn't you? It wouldn't be difficult. I mean, if you were minded to, you could probably go straight over them. There is nothing they can do. There is nothing they can do to make your car stop. Nothing. But they have authority to stop you. When you see that uniform, you know that that man or woman standing there doing this is not standing up in their own name and authority. They're standing there in the authority of Hampshire Constabulary and ultimately the Crown. They've got all that authority behind them when they do this. And I hope you do stop. That's the right answer, guys. Thank you. That's a good thing to do. But the uniform tells you that they can act with authority, that they're not acting alone. And Jesus has given you authority to act in his name. And you may need to pause and take that in. I'm not talking to the person next to you or the person three rows behind you. If you're a Christian, Jesus has given you authority to act in his name. So when we pray, as we often do in church, in the name of Jesus, that's not just something we tag on to the end of our prayers to make them sound a little bit holier. That's a statement of authority, because he allows us to use his name and the authority that goes with that. We're acting with the authority that Jesus gives us. So our three foundations before we start: compassion, Because we have to be praying for people out of a care for them and a love for them. Respect and authority, knowing who Jesus is. Sorry, humility rather than authority. That was what I meant to say. But not the kind of humility that says, I can't do that, but the kind of humility that says, only because of Jesus I can do that. So, I want to get practical. How do we actually go about praying for healing? I'm going to talk you through fairly quickly because time's pressing on, but nobody's that keen to go to lunch, are you? Good. I want to talk you through 5 steps. Now, I don't want this to sound too much like a formula because that's not how it should be. It's just that some people find it easier to think in terms of this is I do this and I do this and I do this. So if it helps you to think in terms of 5 steps, then please hear it that way. If it doesn't, then it's not a formula or a process in that sort of way. And none of this is rocket science. This is all really simple stuff. So the first thing we do when somebody comes to us for prayer, whether it's the person, in a few minutes' time, we're going to pray for one another. So this is not theoretical, guys. You're going to get to do this in a couple of minutes. If the person next to you stands up and says, I'd like prayer for healing, and you're in that awful position where everyone's looking at you going, well, you better get on with it then because they're next to you. What's the first thing you do? Say hi. Tell them your name if they don't know it. Be friendly. This is not, you remember the Wally? Don't clamp your hand on their shoulder and get started like there's no human being involved in this. Talk to them, say hi. Tell them your name. And then ask them what they would like prayer for, going back to the 2 principles I talked about in a few minutes ago. You don't need a full medical history. You don't need to know what it says on their medical records. You don't need to know what the last graph on their chart said. That's number one, you probably won't understand it anyway. And number two, that is not the role you're acting in. You're not here to be a doctor. You're not here to be a nurse. You're here to be praying in Jesus' name. So what you want to know really is, where do they want prayer for? What is it that hurts? What is it that's gone wrong? What would they like you to pray happens? But ask them what they'd like prayer for. And as you start listening to them, try to be listening to God as well. Because just occasionally, God will start whispering in your ear. Just occasionally, a thought will drop into your mind that you think, oh, I don't know where that came from, but maybe that has some relevance to this. So you're sort of listening in 2 directions at the same time. But that's the first thing. Say hello and ask them what they'd like prayer for. Rocket science, isn't it? Second thing is decide how you're going to pray. Now, I nearly left this step out because I would say 99 times out of 100, when somebody comes to you and says, there is something wrong with my leg and I'd like prayer for my leg, the answer is to pray for their leg. I mean, that nearly always, that what they say is what it is and that's how you should pray. Just very occasionally, there's something else going on. And it may just be worth having this at the back of your head, just in case God prompts you in a particular way. Just occasionally, because we are made up of body, mind, and spirit, and they are not 3 separate things. They are all overlapped and interlinked. Just occasionally, somebody will have something physically wrong with them, but actually it relates more to something sinful or wrong in their lives, or something sinful or wrong that has been done to them. And just very occasionally, it's more to do with forgiving something or repenting of something than it is just of praying for healing. Just occasionally, there are emotional hurts, and I think the medical world is realizing this more and more and more, that our emotional hurts can affect our physical body and vice versa. So there can be things going on there. And your job is not to be coming up with a diagnosis. That's not why I'm saying this. Please don't think that you need to start psychoanalyzing somebody when they come for prayer. It's just occasionally God will prompt you to say something or to ask them something that seems a little bit off the wall. And it can be because things are interlinked in this sort of way. Just occasionally, there's something spiritual going on. And that's not something to be afraid of. It's just something to be aware of. I do believe that the demonic is real. I don't believe that it's everywhere. And 99 times out of 100, it's nowhere near the person that's come forward because they've sprained their shoulder. But it's just worth being aware. If God gives you a prompt, you can always bring somebody else in to pray with you as well. But decide how you're going to pray. And then the third step, obviously, is to pray. And you might want to explain how you're going to pray for that person. If I'm praying for somebody, I normally say, when I pray, I spend as much time not talking as I spend talking, because I like to listen to God and see what he wants to say. Because sometimes people really worry that you've stopped, and therefore maybe it's all over and they ought to go off and get a cup of coffee. So you know how you're going to pray. Just explain what you're going to do. And if you do feel God saying anything, ask them and explain it to them. But we always, anytime we think God is speaking, we don't lay that on somebody. We offer it to somebody. Does this seem right? Does this ring a bell? Does this make any sense? And if they say no, take it away again. Okay, don't say, oh no, God has told me. No, he hasn't. You think God might have told you. That's the most we can ever say. Offer it to them. And if they say, not sure about that, okay, sorry about that, I must have got it wrong. Let's pray differently. If you are going to pray for somebody to be healed, I told you this is rocket science. If you're going to pray for somebody to be healed, please pray for them to be healed. Let me explain what I mean. If I'm praying for Rob, is it all right to pray for you? Well, I'm not really praying for you, but say Rob's got something wrong with his shoulder. I could say, dear God, I pray that Rob's shoulder will get better sometime in the next month. Is that praying for healing? No, that's praying that his body is going to recover. And our bodies do recover, and that's a miracle of God, but that's not what we're here to pray for. Or I could pray, dear God, I pray that the physiotherapist will do really good stuff this week and that Rob's shoulder will get better. Now, that's not praying for healing. That's praying for cure. That's praying for the medical professionals, and that's a fine thing to do. I do that all the time. But if they've come to you to pray for healing, please don't fob them off by praying for recovery and cure. You can do that after they've gone home. But if somebody comes to you and asks for prayer for healing, please actually pray that they will be healed. Complicated stuff. I always think it's good to lay a hand on somebody because the Bible tells us to do that, but I would always ask before doing so. And normally the place I would lay a hand is on somebody's shoulder, because that is appropriate for pretty much anyone if they're happy for you to put a hand on them at all. But do ask. And please don't be weird about these things. Rob, can I just use you as a model for a minute? Would you come to the front? I've seen people do weird things and I don't understand them and I don't think they help. I've seen people, when they're praying for somebody, come up to them and lay hands on them like this. And I can tell how much you enjoy that already. Don't put a hand on somebody's head. Why would you do that? And I've seen people do this. Like they're firing a Jesus ray gun at the person. And I know where this comes from. This comes from South California, where it is so hot that if you put a hand on somebody like that, when you take your hand off, there is a hand-shaped sweat mark. So in South California, they started praying for people like that rather than like that. And everybody else watched and thought, ooh, that must be holy. And I'll put in a bit of a wobble to make it look good. Don't be weird. Thanks, Rob. Don't do odd stuff. Don't go into another voice and start using 18th century church English or praying to God of the mountain. Just be you and ask God to come and heal them. But when you pray, you've been given authority. And that means that as well as saying, dear God, would you come and heal, please? You have authority to speak in the way that Jesus did. Read through the Gospels. In the way that Jesus did, you can speak to the disease or to the part of the body. So if Rob's shoulder was bad, I won't drag you up again. I could say, I speak to this shoulder in the name of Jesus, and I say, be healed. That's what authority looks like. Now, authority, we talked about this last week, authority is not a cast iron guarantee that everything will be healed every time, but it comes into the way that we pray. And then the fourth step is that we don't rush our prayers. It's not, dear God, please make him better. Now can we go and have a biscuit? It's take a bit of time and see what God wants to do. Keep listening, keep praying, and keep feeding back anything that you think God might be saying. And as I said before, if you feel that God said something, share it really gently. And then ask them, don't be afraid to do this, ask them whether they feel any different. Yeah, if Rob if I was praying for Rob because he could only lift his hand to there, ask him if he can lift his hand to there. Now, it's a really easy one if somebody can't lift. It's nice and easy to measure, isn't it? But other things, ask them. Do you feel God doing anything? Do you feel any difference in any way? Would you like me to go on praying? Because they're always going to set the agenda. We can pray for a bit longer. Would you like to do that? Obviously, if something has happened, brilliant. But has it completely healed them? Or has God completely healed them, rather? Or do you want to carry on praying and see whether he's got anything else to do? And then afterwards is the final step. When you've finished, please don't just go, amen, and walk off. Check in with them. How are they doing? How are they feeling? Remembering that our job is to make sure that they go away feeling loved and valued and seen and respected. Whether or not God's done anything dramatic. I missed something out of the middle that's probably quite important. When you're praying, I think it's really helpful to keep your eyes open. And there's a number of reasons for this, and most of them are practical. Sometimes you can see that God is doing something by the way somebody responds physically. Sometimes you'll see, and I sometimes hesitate to talk about these things because I don't want you to feel that you've got to put them on if someone's praying for you. Please don't ever do that. But sometimes you'll see just something on their face, or that their eyes start fluttering in a way that doesn't look natural, or sometimes somebody will shake a bit. Sometimes somebody will, a whole load of emotion will come out when you're praying for someone. And it's like, why, you know, I'm praying for your knee, and suddenly you're sobbing. Why is that? Well, when God turns up in a powerful way, things happen, and it's not something to be worried or afraid of. We don't try and drum that up. So I'm praying for your knee, so please cry a little bit, see if it makes it work better. That's not how it works. But sometimes some emotion comes out. Sometimes, just occasionally, somebody will get a bit wobbly at the knees and fall over. And that's a good reason for having your eyes open, because it's really embarrassing if you don't notice and don't try to catch them. So, you know, don't be stood there praying and they're out on the floor and you haven't even spotted it. Keep your eyes open and see what God might be doing while you're praying. If it's God, it is never going to be scary or anything to be worried about. Sometimes it's dramatic, very rarely, just occasionally. But if it's God, it's always a good thing, and it's always leading towards healing in one way or another. I think I've got more in my notes, but I'm so aware of the time and I want to have some time to pray for one another. I think the most important thing, don't be weird. Please don't be weird. Don't put on another persona to pray for people. Just be you asking Father God to come and do something that only he can do, because that's the authority he gives us as his children. Does that make sense? Everybody feeling ready to pray for the person next to them when they stand up? Because what's the point of talking about this stuff if we're not going to give it a go? So I'm hoping, this sounds really wrong, I'm hoping there's one or two people here that have got something wrong with them that wouldn't mind a bit of prayer. If you have something and you would appreciate somebody praying for healing, or a few people praying for healing, and we've all got L plates on, but we'd love to pray for you, would you be brave and stand? Wonderful. Excellent. Could I just get you two to move apart a little bit, because I'll get a group of people around each of you. Is that all right? If you just sort of shuffle a little bit along the back. Wonderful. And actually, maybe, Kirsten, if you just go sort of a row further back, just so a group of people can get around Tim and a group of people can get around you. Now, I would love it if everybody in the room gathered around one or other of these people. This isn't limited to one person per person. Have a look around. Decide who you're going to go and pray for. If you don't feel able to get up and go and pray for them in person, just pray for them in your seat. But we're going to take the next 5 or 10 minutes and finish a little bit late. Really sorry. But go and gather around these people. And remember, talk to them. Tell them your name. Ask them what they'd like to pray for. And then spend some time praying. And next week we'll have another testimony time. But let's stand up and move around and spend some time praying. And Holy Spirit, as we do this, we want to invite you to fill this place and to inspire our prayers. Lord, we want to invite you to release a gift of faith amongst us so that we'd be able to pray in your name and with your authority. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah.